Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All By the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today is the day we are talking about our Oscars 2024 nomination or winners theories, right? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's today. We're gonna theorize who we think is gonna win.
We spent all year gathering so many movies to watch. As you know, we talked about so many movies, and then we filled in the gaps with all the best acting categories as well this year. So pretty proud of us for that.
Yes. Luckily, it seemed like there was a lot of overlap with the nominations this year, so it didn't seem like there were 80 million movies that we had to watch this year. But also, unfortunately, was not able to watch every movie. Like, I think I didn't see a single documentary.
Yeah.
Didn't see a single international, or we saw Zone of Interest because it was nominated for Best Picture. But the other international films, unfortunately, did not have time to watch. But we really did our best. We did our best.
It was really hard this year. We were very busy. And I was at least. So there was just a lot going on this year. But we did really enjoy watching everything that led us to this day. So we usually start from the bottom of our list. And we always do best what we want to win and what we think will win. And honestly, for some of these categories, we don't really have a want because we have not seen anything. So it's just a shot in the dark. So,
Some of these I do not have. Yeah, exactly. As you said.
So
should we start from the bottom?
Yes, I'll start, with the best documentary short. The nominees are The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, and The Last Repair Shop. Oh, and Nai Nai Waipo. And I wanted, I guess, like, and I think will win is the ABCs of Book Banning for some reason. I don't know why. I've only seen, Nai Nai Waipo on, I think it was on Disney Plus and it was really cute. But I just don't know if it has what it takes, I suppose. So, ABCs of Book Banning.
I also picked that one, and I think I picked this one because there's just been a lot of talk in the news about book banning. And so I think it's very relevant, and it's, I think that's mostly why I chose it. There's really no rhyme or reason to what I picked. Cause you're right. I think I saw, Nai Nai and Waipo, on a streaming service, but I have not seen it. You did watch it and you liked it.
Yes, it's like about these old people. It's very sweet. It's on Disney Plus.
Aw, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'll do the next one. Best live action short film. The nominees are The After, Invincible, Knight of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And I chose The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar because it sounded like a cool title.
We've seen it.
What? Wait.
We talked about it on the podcast.
I thought it sounded familiar. Wait. Wait.
Yes.
Is this one of the Wes Anderson?
Yes, the Wes Anderson short films. That is so funny that you had no idea. I also picked that one to win, but only because it's the only one of these I've seen.
Oh, shit.
That's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, my God. You're with, like, right. I'm so embarrassed.
That was pretty embarrassing.
Wow. Wow. Oh, wow. I thought it sounded familiar, but wow. My brain just had a brain fart.
That is so funny.
Fart. Okay. Good. Great. I've seen that one. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was the longest one of the short films as well. So that makes sense why they would submit it for best live action short film. And hopefully it'll win. But then again, I don't know what the other ones are, and I'm sure they're fantastic. So congrats to all those nominees as well.
Yeah.
Great. The next one is special because Emily did see all of these. Best Animated Short. The nominees are Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
Yeah, so quick little story, I guess. I had never... So every year, obviously, the AMC does the Best Animated Short and Best Live Action Short. They do like these little movie previews for the Oscars every year. And I've never, ever, ever been to one. And because normally we can find them online, like they're not too hard to find. But anyway, so I was like, you know what? I have some time. I'm going to go to one of these. And so I went and it was very fun. And we actually got to see two extras. They were like extra
submissions.
Yeah, extra submissions or, like, you know, recommended or, like, you know, honorable mentions, basically.
Yeah.
And there were two extra. And, oh, my God, one of them was so weird. I have to talk about it.
Okay, okay.
So it was basically about the life of a salmon. So it's, like, the salmon, the female salmon goes into the river and lays her eggs, and then she dies, and then her babies are born, and they make their way to the ocean. Yeah, they travel down to the ocean, and they make their way back to then lay their eggs. But they weren't... So it looked like this weird, like, AI animation. Like, it looked so real. It looked so realistic, but it just looked kind of off. And they weren't like animated, like 3D rendered salmon. It was people in scuba suits.
Okay, I'm looking this up. What was it called?
It was called Wild Summon. SUMMON.
Oh my God, I have to see this. Oh.
And it was so fucking weird.
Oh my God, this is honestly...
It was so scary. Like, it
was scary. This is scary. I'm actually, like, in shock. So all these people are wearing, like, scuba, like 60s wetsuits. Scuba suits and wetsuits, but they're acting like salmon.
Yes. And that their mouths are just, like, extra wide. Oh, it was so...
The little eggs have little babies in them that are wearing the masks already.
The scuba suits, yes.
Oh, my God, that is frightening.
And it was like, I saw this like salmon's mouth, and it was just an extra big, like, person's mouth. And that, like, kind of looked fishy, like kind of looked like fish lips.
Yes.
And I was so unsettled. It was so unsettling.
So sorry you had to go through that.
Oh my God. Wow. And then there was a fun cat, a animated, like, cat singing a song. I can see why I didn't get nominated, but it was a fun little song. It was very comedic. But those were the two extras. I hated the salmon one.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think of all the other animated shorts? Did you like, I mean, will you talk about just briefly about each of them?
Yeah, I will. So Letter to a Pig is about a... So basically it's kind of like about a class where an older man comes to tell a story of, like, how he had to run from... I'm not entirely sure where this took place. It might have been, like, Islam or something else. But as a child, this man is, like, presenting to a class that he was running from soldiers who were, like, trying to capture him. And he hid in a barn like in a pile of hay, and they're like just like a bunch of pigs around him. And it seemed like the pig was kind of like blocking the hay pile, like kind of protecting him. And so as a kid, he like wanted to write this letter. He wrote a letter to the pig, like thanking the pig for basically saving his life and stuff.
Emily, that is so sweet.
It was very sweet. I really liked it. And there was a part, it kind of got a little dark. I don't really know. It kind of got a little scary. But I liked how it was animated. It was very, like, minimal. Like, things were kind of just partially drawn. And, like, colors were kind of popping in and out randomly. Like, it was very interesting. And then The 95 Senses was about a man in jail. He was having his, like, last meal. And before he gets executed, like in the chair, whatever thing, and he was talking about, and it was cool. It was animated by like different people. Like everyone kind of chose. He kind of told different stories based off of the five senses, and each of the senses was animated by someone different. So they were all kind of slightly different art styles, It was very fun. It was very engaging, and it was very interesting. And it's and I can't remember what exactly the 95 senses meant. It was like when, damn it! It like 95 senses had. I think it was when you die and you stop using like your five senses, you have like the other, like you have 100 senses. When you're alive, you only use 5 of them. So yeah. When you're dead, you have the other 95 to use or something. It was something like to that effect.
Oh, okay.
So it was very, very interesting. Our uniform was about just girls going to an all-girls school and having to wear, I believe it was like a hijab. And even though they were just like around girls, so they didn't really understand why they needed to wear their hijabs around other girls. Like, it's not like there were any boys around. And, you know, not really liking their uniforms and not feeling like individuals all looking the same and kind of that. But it was animated so cool. It was animated on pieces of clothing. Like, it was like they would draw a scene of someone walking like down a pant leg. It was
what?
It was so cool. It was so, awesome. So cool. I really liked that one a lot. And Pachyderm was French, I believe. And it was about a little girl who goes to, like every summer she goes to stay with her grandparents. And I think her grandfather, like, assaults her. Like it was not very fun. It was a very sad one, but it was animated very beautifully. Like the art style was very beautiful, but and it just kind of talked about how she was scared about certain parts of her grandparents' house and she didn't like going there, and it kind of like subtly showed that, you know, her grandfather was bad. And he eventually dies, and she like goes back and kind of comes to terms with everything. And then War is Over was about, I really like this one. This one was a lot of fun. It was about like two, obviously there was a war going on. They were like kind of in a stalemate. There were two war camps, like opposite sides, where this really cute pigeon was flying back and forth from the opposing war camps. And these two soldiers were playing, they didn't know who they were playing chess with, but they were playing chess with like the opposite, with the opposing side. Yeah. So they both had chess boards set up in either camp, and they would write their next move to each other and send the message through the pigeon. And the pigeon would go to each camp, giving each other their moves, and then they would move the other person's. And so they had this long game, like chess game happening. But then they had to go into fight, and one of them had like kept all of their
moves.
all of their moves in their pocket. And so when they were fighting each other on the battlefield, all the moves came out. And they had just gotten the notice from upper command that the war was over. And so they were able to stop just in time before they killed each other.
And the music was that had music from John and Yoko in it?
I think so. I think, yeah, at the very end, it played the War is Over song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Christmas song.
Yes, the Christmas song. Yeah, at the end, it played it. I think during it, no one talked. It was just all... Mm-hmm.
Silent.
Yeah,
well, kind of not silent. Any dialogue.
Yeah, it was like background noise and stuff. But yeah, and then at the end they played the Christmas song. Yeah.
Well, I chose that one to win. So
you chose War is Over?
Yeah.
I chose Our Uniform just because I really liked how it was
unique.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I'm glad you went to go see those, and maybe I'll try to go check out both of those next year.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good for us to do since we're always gonna go to AMC.
Yeah, it's true.
Always.
Okay, we ready for the next category?
Yes, I will read it. Best Documentary Feature Film, and the nominees are Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. Mariupol?
Yep.
Yeah. I chose Four Daughters. I don't know why.
I chose 20 Days in Mariupol, so I don't know why either. Maybe they both have numbers in them, and that's why we chose them.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I'm sure that they're both really good. I cannot tell you. The last time we watched all the documentary feature films, we were absolutely stunned. They are truly just inspiring and incredible most of the time. So always, always should watch those.
Yes, yes, yes. If we had time, I definitely would have tried to watch them.
Sure. The next category is Best Makeup and Hairstyling. We've got Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow.
What did you pick, Alzana?
I want Poor Things to win, and I think it's going to win.
Okay, I don't know why, but I think for some reason Golda is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I would love it if Poor Things won. I'd be happy if Maestro won. Like, I thought the makeup was very good in that one, too.
Old makeup was very good in that one.
Yeah, like, it was amazing. Like, makeup and hairstyle is so hard because all of these, they did such a good job. But yeah, I would love Poor Things or even Maestro to win. But for some reason, I was looking at pictures of the hairstyle and makeup for Golda and, like, the Society of Snow since I didn't get a chance to watch these. Society of the Snow is on Netflix if anyone wants to watch that. And I was never able to find out where Golda was to watch. But I don't know. I thought that was Helen Mirren, right? She was in Golda.
I think so.
And the makeup looks really good. Like, it was... I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, that is a really hard category because, you know, all of these movies truly have exceptional makeup and hairstyling. So,
completely.
Yeah. Okay.
Next up, we got Best Costume Design, and the nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think Napoleon will win, but I want either Poor Things or Barbie to win.
Yes. Okay. I want Barbie or Poor Things to win, but I actually put Poor Things to win because in my, of all of these, I think it just has an edge over Barbie in terms of creativity.
Yeah.
And I think that obviously Barbie had fantastic costume design, and I even made my own version of a Barbie dress based off of it. But I think the Poor Things had such a direction that was exceptional and very, very creative. So I picked that one. And I hope, you know, any of these are all beautiful. Killers of the Flower Moon had just amazing, it's like anytime there's a period drama, you're going to have just really good costume design. So...
And I think that's why I went with Napoleon, because I was like, you know, if there's anything the Oscars, the Academy loves, it's like it's historical movies, it's movies about Hollywood. So I was like, and eh, Napoleon probably has really good historically accurate
Sure.
like costumes. So I was like, there's probably Napoleon's gonna win. So
Yeah, we
that
have
was
to
my
watch
reasoning for
that.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we
I
have
think it was
yet to
eventually
watch
gonna
it.
was it eventually gonna go on Apple TV?
You know, I
But
think
I
it
wasn't
might
sure.
be up there now. Let me see, actually. It is up there now. Yeah. So, maybe in
For
the
free, not
next
to rent,
for
or
free.
like no.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, because it was nominated for three things. So,
Yes, it was. It was.
we'll get there, but unfortunately, you know, we did see a lot of these other things, and we'll be able to watch it for free. But okay, the next one is Best Production Design. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things, which is the same as the costume design.
It sure is. Wow. Okay.
Oh my God. Damn. Wow. Okay, I
This is
actually put the
so hard.
exact same thing as I did with Best Costume Design. I didn't even realize that I did this. I want Barbie and I want Poor Things to win, but I think I put Poor Things for production design, which again is a really hard. It was just again that just really difficult like
So hard.
choice because in my opinion Barbie's production design was just it because everything was on a real set. The construction of Barbie Land was like so exceptional, and when you have a physical set, it makes all the difference, absolutely. So I think I just really, really agreed with that. But in my sense, Poor Things again was so unique, and this the physical rooms and all of like the different spaces that they existed in were just so creative and beautiful with that kind of like weird, like Dolly-esque vibe. I was enthralled, so that's why I chose that.
Those are very good reasons for that, Alessandra. I was really having a hard time with production design. I just picked Barbie, so I'm just gonna go with I want Barbie to win, and I think it's gonna win. So I'm just gonna go
Yeah.
with
Yeah.
because I didn't pick two options, so I'm like, cool, I'm sticking with it then, I guess. But yeah, no, poor that's very true. The Poor Things set was pretty amazing. I think I almost went with Napoleon again for production design.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I only picked one, so I'm gonna go with I think Barbie's gonna win.
Okay.
So I'm gonna stick with it. Next up, we've got Best Sound. The nominees are The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part One, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. And I think The Zone of Interest will win, and I want it to win.
I also want it to win, but I actually think Oppenheimer's gonna win.
You know, you're probably right.
And I
I have no
think
confidence in any of my picks app from this point on.
I think that again it was really between the creativity in terms of like Oppenheimer, the sound is so crucial to the gravity of the movie. The same is with Zone of Interest. But I believe Oppenheimer's like inventiveness and actual like, and it was same with like Dune last year. It really had a sense of being unique and very like fresh and new and special, and I felt like that's why people would have chosen it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's Nolan. He's so great with sound in all of his movies, so
Yeah.
it's not surprising. But I'm sticking with Zone of Interest. That's what's happening.
I'm happy that Maestro got nominated as well for this. It is interesting that it did, but I think it's very well done with the editing that that it had such good sound in that movie because it's just like the editing made that movie flow very
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And it definitely contributed to it. So it is interesting to see it here in this in the best sound category. Okay, the next category is best visual effects. The nominees are The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. I've only seen Guardians of the Galaxy out of all of these, which is absolutely crazy. Usually with these visual effects, we have seen a lot of them. But this year
Yeah, usually.
it's really nothing that I can actually say because I've only really seen Guardians of the Galaxy, but I was seeing on some of my Reddit pages and things that the creator has really good visual effects. And I honestly don't even know what that movie's about, so I'm just gonna look it up really fast because I did not do my due diligence and check out what's going on with that movie.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I don't know why, but I chose Napoleon for best visual effects. I honestly have no clue why. Like, don't even ask me why I chose these things. It is what it is. And I heard really good things about Godzilla Minus One, like that it was just a really great movie and I want to watch it at some point. So, but I want Godzilla Minus One to win.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean that's what Danny said too. He really wanted that to win as well. So I think that like, yeah. Oh, okay. I looked up The Creator. It is actually a Gareth Edwards movie. We talked about it recently as well. It's a sci-fi. So,
I thought we did. I thought it sounded familiar.
Yes. It's got a John David Washington in it.
I don't even know what visual effects like are in Napoleon.
I mean, honestly, probably like war stuff, like
That's very true.
horses.
Horses?
Yeah, horses. CG
Okay.
horses.
Sure. Yeah. All right, I'm the next one. Best next category we have is best cinematography, and the nominees are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And I think Oppenheimer will win, but I want Poor Things to win.
Same. That is all.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I was thinking about the Poor Things cinematography and how unique it was as well, because there was a lot of those fisheye lenses
Oh, yeah.
and just like it added to the surrealness of it without doing a Dutch angle, which I absolutely hate them. So I get really excited when weird movies don't use a Dutch angle to make things strange.
Yeah, exactly. Next up.
Okay. Best film editing. We have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And I want both Anatomy of a Fall and The Holdovers to win, but I think Oppenheimer is gonna win.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer's gonna win. I'd be happy if any of these movies won. I would really like the Holdovers to win because I like the Holdovers to win something. So that'd be nice. Or Anatomy of a Fall. That was a really, really good movie as well.
The
But yeah,
editing
I
was
think
very
Oppenheimer's
good.
gonna win.
Yeah, Oppenheimer again is just one of those. It's really hard to like the subject and the everything is just so incredibly well done. It's just like difficult to compare it sometimes with other movies that have just the necessary like it needed to have that weight. It needed to have that editing masterfulness, and it did. So,
And again, it's Nolan.
it's Nolan. I know.
Great editing.
Yeah.
You're really not going to be disappointed when it
With the
comes to
technical aspects of his movies, for sure. For sure.
Completely. Next category we have is Best Original Song, and the nominees are The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, I'm Just Ken from Barbie, It Never Went Away from American Symphony, Wajaje, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon, and What Was I Made For from Barbie. I want What Was I Made For to win from Barbie. I don't even know if I have an option for what I think will win. Best Original Song is so hard for me because like,
yeah, it could be anything. It's literally just whatever people want. Like, there's no, it doesn't mean it's the best.
I feel like I'm not musically inclined, but like,
it's not like they are either. It's just,
all the songs are great. Like, these are all great songs. It sounds great. It's got great lyrics. It's got a great, you know, it's got a great melody or a beat or whatever. They're all just great. So I can never choose. But I guess I also think What Was I Made For from Barbie. I don't really think it will, but I didn't pick another one. So I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, same. I think that one's going to win. And I think it deserves it. It's a really beautiful song. And it really has that important, like, it honestly adds complexity to the movie. And when you think about that, it's like, that is an important thing. Like, it makes the movie better. And that is exactly what an original song should do. So we're gonna see Billy and Phineas up there saying their thank you speeches.
Ooh, hell yeah. And we're gonna see them performing it too. I would love
that. Yes. We get I'm Just Ken performed by Ryan Gosling as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And also
if I'm Just John Ken Batiste ends up winning, I'm gonna scream. And I don't know if in a good way or a bad way.
That song's fantastic too. So
it is. It is. I just don't want it to win.
It's amazing it was nominated. And actually, we figured out earlier, and we should have added this to our Killers of the Flower Moon podcast, but we were trying to look up the pronunciation of Wajaze, and it was like, oh, that actually is the way that the Osage people say their name. So that is like the correct pronunciation. And it took us like a whole like 3 or 4 minutes to realize that Wajaze is how to say the letters of Osage, like O-S-A, you know, G-E, like, that's how they pronounce it. It just took us like a minute to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that will be beautiful to see. Yeah, exactly. Can't wait to see them doing it.
I love watching these Best Original Song performances there. So, and I listened to The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. It was a really fun song. Mm. It never went away. Was a very beautiful, so I listened to that one as well. It's very beautiful. So I'm very excited to listen to some of these live. It'll be very fun.
The next category is Best Original Score. We have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
What did you pick, Alessandra?
I want Poor Things to win, and I think Oppenheimer is going to win.
I think Oppenheimer's gonna win, but I would be really happy if American Fiction won or if Poor Things won. I think Oppenheimer's gonna win.
John Williams getting one for Indiana Jones. Hell yeah. Go, old man.
Hell yeah.
All of these are fantastic. I'm really glad American Fiction got that nomination. It's really... really deserved for that movie. It really elevated the movie for sure.
Yeah, it really did. Next category we've got is Best Adapted Screenplay, and the nominees are American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. This one was so hard.
Ooh, I know.
Oh my god, this was so hard. I picked I think Oppenheimer's gonna win. But I mean, I want Poor Things to win. I want Zone of Interest to win. I want Barbie to win.
Yeah.
I want all these movies to win. Like, this was so hard.
They're all so good. And I mean, as adapted screenplays, they also are so original in what they're trying to say. But again, like, Oppenheimer really was, again, tackling a subject matter that was very difficult to apply to a film. And they did it very well. And honestly, it's one of Nolan's best movies, if not his best movie. So going into it like that, it's like, you know, he deserves to win this. It's like a very, very good, very concrete and beautiful way to make this kind of difficult movie.
Yeah.
And like, I of course love Poor Things just as much as Barbie, because like, it was so original and so like, well done with its feminism in different ways. And just like explaining, you know, the life of a woman is really exceptional in both of those movies.
Yeah, completely agree.
Is it my turn?
Yeah. Did you say you thought Oppenheimer was going to win?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Next category is Best Original Screenplay, and the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. And we have watched all of these. We did so good. Did you watch May December? I cannot wait to talk about it with you.
I did. I watched it. It was crazy.
I know. It's so entertaining.
Oh, God. It was insane.
It's based off of a real story. Did you know that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was so unsettling.
It was so unsettling, and the acting was so good, and
it
just
was so creepy. Oh,
I loved it. And I saw that there was some theories about it, that it was actually like, especially with the score, you know, how kind of like hilarious the score was. It was just kind of like these really like dramatic stings of music on kind of like cheap sounding like instruments. It was like supposed to be like a soap opera score, that they're like, the movie that they're making, that she's making, and Natalie Portman's character, it turns out she's making a pretty, like, they thought they were making like this auteur film, but then in the end you realize it's just like a fucking Hallmark movie, you know?
Yes. Okay. I thought the score was so weird, like this annoying ass piano that would come up. Like, I was like, oh, God, not the piano. Like, every time it would come on.
Yeah.
I was like, go the fuck away, piano, every time. It was, oh, my God, it was so annoying.
Yeah.
But
it was supposed to be.
It was so overly dramatic. It was so, this movie was so weird.
Oh, yeah. It was odd.
Weird.
Okay. And honestly,
oh my God.
So glad I got original screenplay nod, because, like, it was so strange and also so great. Like, it's very entertaining. You're wondering what it would be like to talk to people in this exact scenario. And if, for people who haven't seen it, it's about a woman who is making a movie, a young like actress, 30s actress, who's making a movie about this family in which the older woman got arrested for having sex with a young man, a minor, who was 13 at the time. And then she subsequently had her baby in jail. His baby.
Yes.
And not only did they stay together, but they had twins later in their lives as well.
Yes,
and in the movie, they are graduating from high school. So the dad is like the same age as this actress. She's like, they're like 35. But he has this like childlike way about him, because he never got to grow up. He was always with this woman who played by Julianne Moore, who's, you know, much, much older than him, who was like 36 when she had sex with him and had an affair with him. And so it was just kind of like analyzing this town's reaction and the fallout and her previous family and her kids and her husband, like, and everybody's just a little bit weird. Everybody's just a little bit fucked up, or a lot of it fucked up. You know?
Yes. Everyone is a lot messed up, and it's just it. Oh my God. Yeah. Casey actually watched that movie with me.
Oh my God.
It was a time. It was a journey. It was a journey for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and it would be strange if it not for the fact that it is based off of a real, like a real person who did this. It's just like, you know, so we get a, yeah. So there's that. But we have watched all of these.
So nasty.
And the ones I really would like to win this Best Original Screenplay are The Holdovers and Past Lives. because I personally think they have like the best screenplays. Honestly, Anatomy of a Fall too, but I just really love Holdovers and Past Lives. And honestly, I do think that Holdovers would win. It's possible because it is such a good screenplay.
Yeah.
It's a favorite for sure.
Yeah. I would also be really happy if Holdovers and Past Lives won. I didn't pick two options, so I guess I'm going with Past Lives. I want Past Lives to win, and I think it will win.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine if it won? Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, man. I'd be so happy. Whew. Next up, we have Best International Feature Film, and the nominees are The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, Lo Capitano from Italy. Io Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, and The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom. I want Zone of Interest to win, and I think it will win, because unfortunately I have not seen any of the other international films. I'm sorry.
I have heard that Perfect Days and Io Capitano are very delightful.
Ooh, okay. I'll have to watch those ones then.
Yes. But the same with me. I do want Zone of Interest to win, and I think it will win. It was, as evidenced by our most recent conversation that you might have listened to this week, it was very good.
Very good and unsettling, if you haven't seen it. Definitely watch that. Wasn't sure. Do we want to take a break before we kind of continue on with these last couple ones?
Let's do it.
All right.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, we are back with the category Best Animated Feature Film.
Ooh.
And the nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see Robot Dreams yet because it will be playing after we record this in theater, so we won't be able to go see it. But as far as the other ones, we have seen them, and really glad that we talked about all of these movies on the podcast this year. I really loved Elemental this year, so I think that's my favorite one, and I would like it to win, but I do actually think Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is going to win, just like the first one. It's a really good movie, so, you know.
Really? I thought you were going to pick that you thought The Boy and the Heron was going to win.
I changed my mind last minute. We're going to see what happens.
Alessandra!
I know, and I would not be mad. If Boy and the Heron won, of course I would not be mad. Of course. So.
Oh my god. I'd be very happy if Elemental or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse would win. I think The Boy and the Heron's going to win, but I really want Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse to win. And I guess a quick snub would be good to add here.
Yes,
I was really sad not to see the 2023... Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie not on here.
I was thinking that. It was very good.
We enjoyed that very much, and I was very sad not to see it nominated.
Absolutely. It's pretty disappointing to me, too. But I'm really glad that Nimona was nominated. Also,
yeah.
So original. And And something that I think is, you know, I think maybe people didn't see as much of the TMNT because it's like a derivative film from, and there's been like, you know, dozens of them. So maybe it was just something that they didn't want to pick. But Nimona, like, truly was an exceptional and creative movie. So really glad that it was nominated here.
Yes, and it's based off of a comic, if anyone is interested. The comic was on Kindle Unlimited, if anyone has that. It was a very fun read. I read it, and it was very cute.
All right.
Next up, we have Best Director. We have... Oh my god, this is going to be so difficult. Okay,
it's getting heated right now. So heated.
Oh my god, I'm so sweaty. Okay. For Best Director, the nominees are... is it Justin or Justine? Justine?
Justine.
Justine Triet. Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest. Oh my God. I think Christopher Nolan's going to win, but I want Yorgos to win.
Same. No, Christopher Nolan is going to win for sure. It's not a question there. He really is the best one. But Yorgos obviously is a fantastic director. And honestly, Justine Triet of Anatomy of a Fall was exceptional as well. Really glad to see her nominated here.
Yes. I mean, and honestly, Jonathan Glazer as well, like, Zone of Interest.
I know. And there's that... what can we say? Martin Scorsese is always good. It's like, you know, they're all good.
I know, we have some amazing, amazing direct. We can also talk about some snubs here. Yeah. Obviously, huge snub. Greta Gerwig was not nominated for Best Director for Barbie, which was crazy. Absolutely fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's 5 slots here, and like, all these people took them instead. And honestly, Celine Song for Best Director for Past Lives as well was... Yes. Really good too. So like, I think it is really hard because they do, like, when you're nominating people, it's basically like people choose what they want, but that doesn't mean that that's gonna get, like, it's the number of ones that brings them up or pushes them down. It's like that weird voting system that they do. So it is kind of hard when we have things, because like, it could get so many votes and push down other things really easily. Like that ranked choice voting thing. And I don't know if that works with the nominations too, but it really fucks things up. So you never really know what's going to happen with the choosing. There's like, people really, really wanted Greta to get nominated for this. And, you know, luckily she was nominated for the screenplay again. But it is really difficult to understate her exceptional job at Barbie. And I just don't know who I would have kicked out of this Best Director category if all these people were not, you know, like, it's...
That's very true. Like there's no, like, there's, it's so hard to be like, well, who doesn't deserve to be here? It's like that's not, you can't answer that. All these people deserve to be here. These movies are amazing.
Yeah, it's true. So you can't really, it's difficult, difficult. Okay, so difficult. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, we have Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
Who'd you pick?
I want Robert Downey Jr. to win, and I think he's going to win.
Ooh, okay. I think I had Robert Downey Jr. highlighted for a second, but I changed it.
Did you change it to Sterling K. Brown? Did you fucking that?
I want Sterling K. Brown to win, like, a lot.
Absolutely.
But I think Ryan Gosling's gonna win.
Oh, could you imagine if he won? My God.
That'd be crazy. I don't know.
Why did you choose him? Why do you think that people are gonna choose him?
I don't know, dude. I swear.
Over Robert Downey Jr.?
I know. I don't know.
Defend yourself. I'm telling you. Defend.
I'm telling you, I have no idea what I was doing.
Dying. Okay, it's fine.
I might as well have just been doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe, dude. Like, that's what I was doing. Oh my God, this was so hard. I didn't want to do this last night, but I did.
I think another snub in this category was 100% Charles Melton from May December. I think you could have knocked off Robert De Niro. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Completely. Charles Melton, completely.
Charles Melton deserved this. And like, dude, like he needed this. He needed it. It was a great performance. Like the end when he's crying at his kid's graduation was, I mean, just his like coming to terms with the voice that he has now and like having just that be like suddenly available to him is just, it's so good. And when he's smoking weed with his son and his son knows like more about life than him, it's just, it's really sad and it's such a good performance.
Yeah. 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 Of course, we all know Robert De Niro's a really great actor, but yeah, I thought his performance in Killers of the Flower Moon was just okay. Like,
yeah, it's like
definitely could have put someone else in here. Mark Ruffalo was very good. I'm glad that he's on here. These are some great options. They really are.
Yeah,
but apparently, I think Ryan Gosling's gonna win. Let's go, Ken.
Yes, I love it.
Let's go, Ken.
I love that energy. I really do.
You know what? I'm sticking to it. Next category here, we have Best Actress in a Supporting Role. And the nominees are Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple, America Ferrera from Barbie, Jodie Foster from Naiad, and Devine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers. And I think Devine Joy Randolph is going to win from The Holdovers.
Yeah.
And I would really like Danielle Brooks to win. She was so good in The Color Purple.
I know.
Oh my God. And Jodie Foster, both Jodie Foster and Annette Bening were so good in Naiad.
I mean, we'll talk about Naiad, I think, when we get up to the actress one. But, like, absolutely, I want Jodie Foster and Devine Joy Randolph to win. But I do think that Devine Joy Randolph is going to win. And honestly, like, she fucking deserves it. She's fantastic.
I think she's going to win.
I would love her to win. And it's just really exciting. This is a really good Best Supporting Actress category this year. And it was really great watching The Color Purple. I did really enjoy it. But I can see it
really
wasn't.
I did too.
It wasn't like, I think, worthy of too many other nominations. I'm really surprised kind of like some of the music didn't get nominated and stuff like that. But the acting was really good, and I really love the main actress.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because it was not, like, an original song, because like, The Color Purple is a musical already, so it's not, like, and I don't think an original song was written for this movie, so.
True.
I think probably that's the reason why, but, yeah, I was seeing some snubs for Color Purple not getting nominated for Best Picture. I did really like it.
I don't know about best. I think that definitely I haven't seen the original Color Purple, but that did win some Oscars. So I would like to, I would like to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it too. And I want to read the book. That was my first time watching The Color Purple and I really liked it. I had a really good time. It was very sad, but it was very good. It was very good. Casey hadn't seen it either, so we watched it together for the first time, and it was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and it also shared a Best Actor with Colman Domingo, who is in the leading role nomination as well. So,
yes, yes.
And Colman Domingo was really good in The Color Purple as well. So I mean, it's like he could have even easily gotten nominated for Best Supporting Actor in that category, too.
Very true. Very true.
But yeah, I'm going to be very excited when Divine Joy Randolph wins for the Holdovers.
I really think, yeah, like, she's, I am very confident in this decision. She's going to win. If she does, I'm going to be so surprised.
Okay, the next category is a big one. Best actor in a leading role. We've got Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo in Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction.
Oh, God. What'd you pick, Alessandra?
I want Paul Giamatti and Cillian Murphy to win, and I do think that Cillian Murphy's going to win.
I think Cillian Murphy's going to win. Honestly, I want Bradley Cooper to win.
You do?
I that's what I picked. Apparently.
To win, or you want him to win?
I want him to win. I want him to win. I think Cillian Murphy's gonna win. But I want Bradley Cooper to win, apparently. But honestly, I think any of these wonderful actors winning, I'd be happy. I mean, Colman Domingo was so good at Rustin. Paul Giamatti, Jeffrey Wright, they're all so good. Like, they're all really good. So.
Bradley Cooper really put his whole coup-pussy into that role. So it was truly, like, it was truly insane.
And you know what? Yeah, and maybe that's why I picked him, because he really stuck out to me. I don't know.
Colman Domingo also did too. Like, it was a great performance.
Very true.
Really thought this person was real. Like, it felt like you were watching a real person, which is just that is so much. Like, he just disappeared into this character, and he felt so realistic. And I think that can be, you know, definitely said for the acting, but also the screenplay of Rustin. And it was very emotional at the end as well, especially with the I Have a Dream speech and the mall. So that was, like, such a great movie to, you know, round out this year with.
Yeah, completely. But yeah, Colman Domingo has a really great way of he did the same thing in The Color Purple as well. Like, he really just turned into this character. Like, I feel like with some actors, it's so hard to not see them as who they are. Just
like Bradley Cooper in Maestro.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's sure.
He was better in my opinion, in A Star Is Born. Like, I thought he blended much more into that.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. But yeah, no, Colman, I'd be very happy if Colman Domingo won.
That was a really interesting character in history, a very interesting figure of the civil rights movement. So really glad that I got to watch a movie about him.
Yeah, we say this a lot on this podcast. I mean, this is a podcast. I don't know why I didn't think this was a podcast for a second. Is that what we do here? Is this a podcast?
Is that what we do? Do we not just chat to each other for hours?
Sometimes it feels like that. I love watching movies that are teach me about history as well as important people of history. And Rustin did that. It was so interesting, and I really enjoyed watching it. So if you have not seen it, definitely go watch it. Colman Domingo is amazing. The whole movie was so good. Like, it really, I think this year was so great with movies just kind of showing you a different side to things. Like, it's like, yes, we all know the story of Martin Luther King, and we know, like, what he's done for this country and what he's done just for a ton of people, but it's like to kind of see a different side of that, and even learning about Rustin as a historical figure, like that as well. Like, it's so great. Like, I love learning.
Yeah, it's a side of our history that I, like, didn't know about. And honestly, like, also the exchanges and the kind of battles between all of the different civil rights groups that had to come together for so many different things and different ways to get this, you know, this legislation passed, this landmark legislation passed. Like, I'd never, you just don't really get a lot of that from movies like that are like, I mean, there's documentaries about it, but I'm just so glad that there was a reason that we had to watch this movie to like learn more about the leaders of the various civil rights groups of the 60s. The like person who organized this, the biggest, you know, peaceful protest, like on the march on the mall, is like a gay black man, you know, it's like so incredibly amazing. Inspiring. Yeah. It's just really, really great. I really, really enjoyed it. So definitely glad that he was nominated for that as well. And like, again, though, I do think that Cillian Murphy's going to win, because his role was so, difficult. And again, like, he did a really good job and portraying this, enigma of a person.
Yeah. And I guess a quick snub, I guess we could bring up, some articles I was, and obviously just from watching, people are saying, Leonardo DiCaprio getting snubbed, for Killers of the Flower Moon. I mean, I thought Leo did a great job. I don't think it was his best role, but he did do very good. It's kind of like how I think about Robert De Niro's character in that in that movie. Like, sure, they were great, but is it their best role? No.
Yeah.
So.
And also, I saw that Teo Yu was also a contender for that. The opposite in past lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Just, his like subtlety in that, and everything on his face is like a nuance that belongs in this category for sure. Belongs with all these guys.
For sure. Next category we got.
Yes.
Is that me?
Yes, it's
you. I think I do it. Next category we have is Best Actress in a Leading Role. We have Annette Bening from Naiad, Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan from Maestro, and Emma Stone from Poor Things.
Oh my God, dude. Okay, this one was really hard because I absolutely am like putting all my all into wanting three people to win, which is Annette Bening, Sandra Hüller, and Emma Stone.
Right. Oh
my God. But I do think that, honestly, I think that people are going to pick Lily Gladstone because her performance was so good. And I think it's just one of those performances that wins an Oscar. So.
Very true. I mean, if anyone listened to our Killers of the Flower Moon podcast, we both agreed that, you know, Lily Gladstone could have been used more in that movie. She was fantastic. We just thought that maybe she wasn't given like more than she should have been used more. Like, she's amazing.
She deserved to be given more of a strength that was quite reserved in the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so this is the time we could talk about Naiad, because, oh my God, that movie. I didn't know what this movie was about at
Neither
all.
Did I.
And I watched it the other day, and I cried for like 10 minutes at the end of the movie because it was so incredibly inspiring, and I really don't want to like ruin anybody's time watching this movie for the first time, but wow.
It was so engaging. Like, I could not look away. Like, it was so engaging. I was like on my toes like the entire, because I was like, is she gonna fucking do this? Like, it was crazy. And oh my gosh, Annette Bening and Jodie Foster were both so good. Like,
it was like scream worthy amazing performances from both of them. their friendship was so clear and so obvious. It just, the love between them was just so, so strong. And they're such expressive actors, especially Annette Bening in this role. She is like, so, I mean, everything is written on her face. She is a character. She's a person who's a real person. Diana Nyad, and truly like a really exceptional athlete that, I mean, I didn't know about at all before seeing this movie. Who's a swimmer, Olympic swimmer, and also a marathon swimmer who decides to swim, to make a very difficult swim from Havana to Key West in Florida. It's like over 100 miles of open ocean, and she attempts it and fails many times. So it's very inspiring, and she tries it again at 60 years old, which is just... Oh my God, like it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So just seeing like this character who's playing a real person go through something that absolutely I would never think that anybody could do is truly just, it's a really good, really on your toes kind of performance, and really like it's really amazing that this movie was made. So I always want more people to go, I want more people to see it and know about Diana Nyad. You know?
Yeah, and just all of the obstacles it took to attempt this swim so many times. Like it was so amazing to watch this. Like I can't even fathom what it was like to be following this story, this news story, like when it was actually happening. It's insane. It's insane.
I don't know why we didn't know about it, and it's probably because we don't watch the news. So you know. No. And you know we don't want to, but it's kind of crazy that we didn't know about this.
I get more news now. I get all my news from various accounts on Instagram, so like I do get some news now, but yeah, definitely not around this time. I actually think Emma Stone will win for Poor Things.
I hope and, so, man.
I would really like Sandra Hüller to win, or Annette Bening, or Lily Gladstone to win, obviously, or Carey Mulligan. They were all amazing. But I don't know, like, Sandra Hüller, she did so good in Anatomy of a Fall. I would love it if she won.
It would be a really good win for her. And we talked about Emma Stone in our Poor Things podcast about how exceptional she was in that movie. So, gosh, I love that movie. I love it. Okay, Emily, this is the last one. Are you ready?
Oh, shit, are we here? Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Okay, you read them. Read them, Alessandra. Go.
It's me? Okay, here we go. Yeah, okay.
It's you.
The Best Picture nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. We have an episode, an individual episode, on each of these movies. So go and listen to them. The ones that I absolutely want to win, which was my very favorite movie of the year, Poor Things. But I think that Oppenheimer's going to win.
I think we picked the exact same. I think Oppenheimer is going to win. I would really like Poor Things to win. Or fuck it. I want Barbie to win, too. Like, completely, I want Barbie to win.
And The Holdovers. My God, I love that movie.
Yeah, honestly. And The Holdovers. All these movies were so, so good. This, oh, God. I feel like I say this every year. These are so hard to do, the theories. oh, God, it's so hard to pick. But yeah, I would scream if Poor Things won.
Yeah.
I really want it to win. I want it to win so much. Or even Past Lives, dude. Like, if Past Lives win, I would scream as well. Like, oh, so good. Oh, man.
So you think Oppenheimer's going to win?
Yes, I do think Oppenheimer is going to win. Yeah, were there any other snubs I missed? I think we covered everything. Oh, no, we didn't bring up... fucking Greta Lee for Best Actress.
Oh, that's true. Yes, we just flew past that. Yes, Greta Lee, absolutely, from Past Lives.
Yes.
She, yes. Again, a very nuanced performance in her face and so, oh, like, heartbreaking and just...
Yeah.
Everything about her is just so magnetic as well. So, it's just it's an amazing performance and definitely a snub, for her.
Yes. Yes.
Honestly. But you can only have so many people. So.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Also very Margot true. Robbie, a snub for Best Actress. I'm sorry. We forgot to say that too. Everybody think, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Again, who are you going to kick out? I mean, Carey Mulligan, maybe? I don't know. She did fantastic. It's like, I don't want to...
I know. How come we can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Best Picture nominees, but we can't have 10?
You just can't. I mean, that's the thing. Like, everybody, especially, this was a very big controversy with Barbie not getting the nominations that people thought it deserved. And, like, in order for that to happen, things need to be shifted. Things need to be kicked out, right? And then who do you say gets kicked out? And that's just equally as sad. But it's, of course, the, you know, we got at least, amazingly, America Ferrera was nominated for Barbie. And it got screenplay. And it, you know, got, you know, the, like, the production costume design.
Production costume. Design, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, not getting...
And two of the best original songs.
Yeah, the two of the original songs. But then, of course, everybody's like, but then how come the white man gets nominated for, you know, supporting actor? And but it's like, well, there's the other one in supporting role for actress, too. So, like, isn't it equaled out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, unless they change the rules to just have more nominees, and then it just makes picking one winner even harder.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. So.
Which, I mean, that's an option. You know, just have as many nominees as you want and then just pick one winner. I mean, either way, one winner gets chosen, so.
And I honestly think, truly, that Margot Robbie's performance in I, Tonya was better than her performance in Barbie. Not that her Barbie performance was bad, but her I, Tonya performance is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. So, I don't know. I mean, it's like... I totally understand why this happens. People come in and they get kicked out. Also, people who haven't seen, like, Naiad were like, what's up with that movie? Why, you know, why did they have to take two of the spots? And it's like, wow. I mean, wow, that performance. Both of their performances. Again. Big girl they crushes. Played, big.
They, yes, they played such, oh my God, such... They were so good. Jodie Foster was hot.
Hot. I have not been a Jodie. Like, I have never been like, oh, I love Jodie Foster. I've been like, she's a good actress. I've seen her in a lot of stuff. But this movie, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. Jodie Foster's gosh. Fucking amazing. Oh my God.
They were both like buff and they were just like sexy. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
Like, damn, older lady crushes. Like, damn.
I love it. I love
damn.
It.
Damn.
Love to see
so
it.
So good. So good. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's why they got nominated, because they're fucking sexy. Like, that's...
yeah. It's a difficult physical no, role, amazing. For sure. For
yes,
sure.
They were so good. So good.
Okay. Another snub on my list here is the Priscilla did not get best makeup or hairstyling. And honestly, we did not see Priscilla, so I cannot tell you what I thought any of the other categories should be for that movie.
They just added it to Max.
What? Oh my
God. Yes, dude.
Oh
yes,
my
dude.
God. I'm so excited yes, to watch dude. It. Oh my God.
I
thank
saw
you
it last night. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Or I didn't watch it, but like I saw it on there last night while we were when I opened Max.
Oh, I'm stoked.
Oh my gosh.
Stoked. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I definitely want to watch that. Any others?
Not on this list. There's definitely a couple other movies that were indie films that were possibly snubbed, but again, we didn't see them. Iron Claw or All of Us Strangers.
Oh yeah. Was it the All of Us Strangers? Was it the one with Paul?
Yes, with Paul Mescal and
the guy from Fleabag?
Yes.
What's his name? Scott?
What's his name? Yes, that's his last name, I think. It's
Adam Scott?
No.
What's his name? Andrew Scott?
Andrew Scott. Yes, you got it. My God, Emily. Nice.
Gosh.
Okay. All right.
And I think that one's on Hulu, I believe.
Is it yet? I thought it was still in theaters.
Oh, never mind. I thought I saw it somewhere.
Emily, what's your favorite movie of the year?
Oh, gosh. Don't ask me that. Favorite movie of the year. Do you know? It's probably a tie between Poor Things and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I was thinking you were going to say that. Because of Miguel O'Hara.
You know me too well. you know me too well. That's it. Both of those. Probably yeah. Poor Things. I mean, Poor Things was so good. I cannot wait to watch it again. I think Casey really wants to watch it, so I will definitely watch it again with them.
Yeah, it's great.
That's for sure happening. What about you, Alessandra? Favorite movie?
I think it's Poor Things for sure.
Okay.
That movie just was fantastic. I enjoyed every moment of it. I think probably second would be Barbie because I saw it a few times in theaters. It was just as emotional as the first time I had seen it. And it's just so good. It's so entertaining. So I really like that one this year too. And just the fact that it is a cultural moment. It's just like, when we're old, we're going to be like, remember when Barbie came out at the same day as Oppenheimer? It was insane.
You remember Barbenheimer? Like, no one's going to understand what that even is, like 25 years from now. And we're just going to be like, remember Barbenheimer? Like, it's going to be...
absolutely. It was epic. We, like, lived through that important cultural thing.
Cultural event.
Yes, it was an event. Exactly. And everyone went to see these movies. It made so much money. So it's like
a historical pop culture event.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
Insane.
Love it.
All right. I think that's it. That's our theories, everyone. I am so excited to watch the Oscars with you, Alessandra. It's gonna be so much fun.
Oh, we're gonna have a good time. So we're gonna have a great excited. Time.
I know. Oh my God, it's gonna be so much fun. Okay. Oh man. Well, that's our theories, everyone. Let us know your theories. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, you can do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.